author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
There is a new unit of time that will replace the nanosecond, and that is the amount of time it takes for an event to happen and John Kirby to get on the airwaves explaining what Biden really said and meant.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Is the world safer today after that conversation between the two leaders, or less safe? And then I have a follow-up as to your answer.
So all I will say is that the ultimate metric for whether the world is safer or not is facts on the ground and actions taken, in this case by Russia. Let's see. We are prepared to deal with any contingency, as I said at the outset, and I'm not going to make predictions or characterizations. I'm only going to say that President Biden will continue to do all of the necessary prudent planning for a variety of different pathways that could unfold in the
Jake Sullivan. I don't feel safer. Well, and I also don't feel, I was going to say, I don't feel confident in his answer. Welcome to the show, everybody. We haven't been bombed off the face of this rock by Russia yet. So how are you guys? Happy, happy Wednesday, because it's Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. And a lot of stuff to get into, as there always is. So here we are. I am made of opinions today. And I've also had the BRC 300 because I was like, why don't I just have some? It's during my day. I've been going all day today. I've had 4 Super Beats Chews already. It's like not even, it's barely 11 o'clock in my time. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sorry in advance. So welcome to the show, danalash.com. Make sure to get Paws Off My Cannon, my books for kids, where I tell your kids how horrible things like, it's okay to defend yourself. I know. We'll talk more about that later. All right. So first up, we still don't have any other real details about this call. And I am feeling real weird about it. I'm not the only one, right? I mean, it's weird that we don't know anything more about it than just the one graph readout and whatever Jake Sullivan says to us. And sidebar, for the love, can someone please take this man to a tailor? Have them sleeves tucked in, bro. I mean, come on. This is big boy stuff now. It's time for big boy suits and big boy tailoring. You can't sit here and wear baggier things and think that makes you look better. Because it doesn't. So just don't. Anyway, I don't think the world's safer. His national security advisor, that was Jake Sullivan that you heard speaking there, who looks like who's the guy who did the thing with Ricky Gervais? Blonde hair, and he's been in a bunch of other movies. He reminds me of like being related to this guy. Yeah, he was out there trying to assure us Biden was direct and straightforward with Putin. I think maybe perhaps the only direct thing that he probably said was when he waved at him. He waved at Putin. But he said that he told Putin directly that if Russia further invades Ukraine, that United States and our European allies would respond with strong economic measures. Now, I know that there's a big discussion as to what would our involvement in Ukraine, how does that benefit our bottom line? Now, look, I'm just to be completely frank, because I'm in a frank kind of mood today. Hi, I'm Frank. Just some dad humor, borrowed dad humor. Just to be completely frank, this is how I look at the situation. I don't want to get involved in any kind of conflict that doesn't directly benefit us, because my kids would be fighting it. A lot of your kids out there would be fighting it. You know that for sure. And this situation in Ukraine, it angers me because we wouldn't even have to get to the point of answering that question if these politicians had done what they were supposed to do from the get-go. For instance, everyone had been saying, well, and I was dealing with trolls and slapping them down right and left just a couple of months ago on this. They were saying, well, why does Germany have to ask, you know, the permission for getting energy from Russia, et cetera, et cetera? Well, I don't know, considering the involvement that the United States has had in Germany, considering that the United States has paid and, you know, just an absolutely significant sum towards their defense. Those are all things that are incredibly important, and those are all things that necessitate our involvement if they're going to talk about getting energy, getting gas from a nation that NATO was created in part to specifically stand against. So, yeah, we have a little bit of say there. And plus, Russia, can you imagine Russia has fast access to Mediterranean? Russia has fast access to just get out there to, I mean, yes, that's a concern. So at that point, at what level does it involve our national security becomes the question. I believe in peace through strength. I believe in constantly maintaining a position of badassitude so that no one wants to mess with us. I'm not saying we go out there and we beat people up. I'm just saying I like the idea of us doing that, so that no one wants to FAFO. I don't want to have to spend and worry about the lives of my children or other people in my family if they have to go and clean, and if they're the ones who are called out to clean these geezer lawmakers' messes. I don't want our kids to be the ones that do this. Yeah, let's make sure we control them.
There you go. Hello.
Dobrый день.
For the love. No, it's not. I swear. It's not my, Kane, my volume's not up. It's not me. There's nothing up. It's not me. You're ridiculous. It's not coming in on that. It's not. It came on the screen. All right. So it wasn't even, Kane's like, something played and it's your fault. I'm like, I'm talking. I don't even have my volume up. My computer's muted. My volume's totally down. My whole point, since that totally threw it, is I don't want our kids to have to be the ones that have to deal with this. And this is ultimately a politician mess, a total politician mess. And so how does this ultimately end up affecting us? That's like the million-dollar question. I get aggravated about this because it's one that we shouldn't even be this far in discussing it. I just can't believe that here we have a company that's run by a former Stasi agent. And he's allowed, after everything that he did in East Berlin when everything was still divided, he's allowed to go and make bank, fat bank off of, and you read everything that the Stasi did to people. What is the purpose of us being involved? How does us being involved help us, the United States? If they launch a massive invasion, how is that dealt with? How are NATO allies fortified? This is one of the reasons why Trump was telling everybody, you know what? Pay some towards your own self-defense. All these countries, all these years, if they didn't, Germany couldn't be prevailed upon to fortify any of their self-defense, any of their resources until Trump and Angela Merkel got into a big fight. And you saw some of that actually in photos when they had one of their summits over in Europe. The Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Biden's been told that Putin should be informed that they can't continue with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. See, the original pipeline ran through part of Ukraine, giving Ukraine what they called a transit status. Ultimately, Ukraine was essentially part of Russia's energy infrastructure. So that's why Russia couldn't do anything with Ukraine this whole time. But they ran this propaganda campaign saying that they needed to build a new pipeline, one that would be better and it wasn't faulty, even though there was nothing wrong at all whatsoever with the pipeline that was going partially through Ukraine. That didn't matter. Russia wanted Ukraine separate from their energy infrastructure. And so this whole thing was carried out. And Nord Stream 2, by the time Biden, it was already well under, it had been, the construction on this was going under Obama Biden. Trump stopped it. It resumed. That was one of the first things actually that Biden greenlit. Here's my problem with the Bidens too. I don't know if you looked, if, and I spoke with Miranda Devine on the separate hour of programming that I do for the first that's not related to radio. And she has that laptop from Hellbook, which I do think that you need to read, you need to get and read. Because I've been telling you for a long time, you know, I watch China obsessively because I hate communists. Hate is the proper word. It's a strong word. I rarely use it to describe things that I very much dislike. But hatred is the accurate description of how I feel towards communists, particularly communist China. And their Belt and Road Initiative that they have been pushing for a number of years, where they go into developing countries and they say, we will invest in your infrastructure. But of course, they want something in return for that. And that usually means, because their Belt and Road Initiatives, their partner countries are selected very carefully, that usually means that those countries have something that they want. They have something that they want. That's usually what it is. And so, like, they've gone into Democratic Republic of Congo, for instance. And I was telling you, we talked about that all last week, how cobalt for batteries, the majority of that is coming from the DRC. And the DRC is a Belt and Road Initiative country with China. They're trying to establish this, believe it or not, with the Taliban in Afghanistan, because Afghanistan sits on a massive amount of lithium. And so there are a number of countries where China has been instituting this Belt and Road Initiative. And guess who actually helped China get their foothold? Because that contract, by the way, they just formalized their final agreement last year. It was Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's firm. Hunter Biden's firm was expressly helping China expand their Belt and Road Initiative with regards to these rare earth element mines. So it is, this is factual. This is not insane to say that, well, the Bidens are enriching themselves off of communist China, because they absolutely 1,000% there are receipts, sit down, are. Now, speaking of money and enriching, the government wants to enrich themselves. We're going to talk a little bit here coming up with Stephen Moore. The government wants to enrich themselves with this insane Biden bankrupt bill. And this bill, I don't know if you saw, one of the things that's, like, for instance, let me tell you as it relates to China. Here's a good segue. One of the things that they're wanting to do with this bill is the price controls for prescription medication. Price controls for prescription medication is, this is something that I always wonder why, who gets to set this? Like, who actually establishes the price controls? It would be the government and it would be politicians, right? So those would be the people who would be establishing price controls. Well, you realize too that with this, you're going to end up having oh my goodness, I can't imagine the stifling for medical innovation. I mean, think about when you have the government that's controlling all of this stuff and the price controls, et cetera, what happens to medical innovation? This is one of the problems that was in the Obamacare bill. And the Obamacare bill, if you remember, featured, it was the medical excise tax. And the medical excise tax was going to, I was looking up notes. It was like 10-15%, right? Everything that could be considered a medical device, like even a walker. You know, we were talking about some of this at the time that it happened. Even that's something that would even fall under this. So some of the stuff that's tucked into this bill, and the Senate's going to figure out what they're going to strip out, et cetera. You know, you're looking at some stuff that's actually going to suppress medical innovation. Now, we're during a time of pandemic. We're also trying to get ourselves a little bit more self-sustaining as it relates to what? A number of things from China, like antibiotics, right? Antibiotics, China essentially monopolized that market. How are we going to become more innovative and more self-sufficient when we're going to be having these strict regulations? We're going to be constricted by some of the stuff that they're putting in this bill. We're going to talk about some of the other bad stuff in there that we haven't touched on yet. Stephen Moore is going to talk to us a little later on in the program. Also coming up, a few other things to touch on. Some wokery. George Orwell's estate approves the retelling of 1984 from a chick's perspective. I hate everything. That's just about the most Orwellian thing to happen. Titleists, you know, for you golf people, they have banned the phrase "Let's go Brandon" on their golf balls. So it's a company that makes balls but has none themselves. Titleist. So we'll talk about that here coming up, because yes, and there's receipts with that. So we got a lot of stuff to touch on that. We got actually a bunch of wokery. We're going to talk about some education stuff, the latest with some of the vaccination stuff, and civil asset forfeiture. This discussion has exploded after the story about a Marine veteran and the Nevada Highway Patrol. I'm going to give you the history of how it started. You won't believe who expanded it. I bet you can. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, Jane's wrong, because we actually like Sergio, our brother from another mother down in McAllen, KURV. All right, so this, man, last night, Craig, I'm trying to say his last name, Craig Tamanaha, 49 years old, he set fire to the Fox News Christmas tree last night. 49-year-old homeless man, his last known address was in Brooklyn, he had a lighter, he climbed on the tree, used papers that he brought, and lit it on fire. And then he stepped back and watched the tree burn. Okay, some days I do feel like that. Not like with their tree specifically, but just things in general. He's charged with criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, arson, criminal nuisance. I mean, Shannon Bream, sweet little Shannon Bream. She's like the sweetest person in this entire industry. And watching her reporting on a burning Christmas tree was almost too much for me last night. I'm like, Shannon, no! Anyway, so this guy's charged with a number of things. Criminal tampering, disorderly conduct, endangering others, criminal trespass, criminal nuisance, endangerment, reckless endangerment, arson, criminal mischief. He had 3 prior arrests for drug possession, 1 for public intoxication. They said the arson, the motive was unclear. They're trying to see whether or not mental illness was a factor. I'm sure he had a court appearance earlier this year that he didn't show up for, which I'm sure shocks everybody. It doesn't shock anybody. A Let's Go Brandon store opens up in a blue state. It's literally a store called Let's Go Brandon. It opened in North Attleboro, Massachusetts on Saturday, and they sell Let's Go Brandon merchandise. Stickers, hats, sweatshirts, signs, flags. Do they have an online store? I'm asking for a lot of friends. So Biden was plus 13 in Massachusetts against Trump. So I'm very curious as to how this, because I feel like I need some of this merchandise. I'm going to look up and find out whether or not you can buy some of it online, because, you know, I think we We need to. And the House passed the defense bill. We'll talk more about that. Stick with us.
As the holidays approach, give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. Black Rifle Coffee Company is not your typical coffee company. Developing their explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members, Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, they give back. Founded and operated by veterans, the team at Black Rifle Coffee Company know what a quality cup of coffee means to active duty troops spending the holidays away from home. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV today. The team has spent thousands of hours tasting and perfecting coffee from all over the world to bring you the freshest coffee in America. Use promo code DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the coffee club. Give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the coffee club. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
We continue to see a buildup of military, Russian military forces in the areas around eastern, northeastern, and eastern Ukraine, but on obviously in western Russia. This buildup is concerning to us. It is still not entirely clear what Mr. Putin's intentions are.
You're not clear what his intentions are? And by the way, this is John Kirby, Pentagon guy. Which it's unclear what Putin's intentions are. You guys should hire me. I can tell you what his intentions are. Right. He's like Dio from JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, which, by the way, I already blew through all like 12 episodes of Stone Ocean. Like the first, I'm not even kidding you, that came out like on a Friday, and I blew through the whole thing that weekend. It's so good. By the way, remind me to come back to that because it is so well done. Oh my gosh, it's so well done. Good job, Rocky. Anyway, so I can tell you, welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com here. And I'm Dana, obviously. I can tell you what they're bent on. He's like Dio from, Putin's like Dio from, not a vampire, and he's not, technically his head's not on somebody else's body, but you get the idea, from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. He wants world domination. He wants to control the world. That's what his intentions are. We know what his motive, what his intentions are. He wants to have total control, and he wants to have total control of Ukraine. He wants to have control of Crimea. They also want a deep water port because the port that they have is not sufficient. Because they, I mean, technically they have one, but they want to have the first, like a huge deep water port complex in the Baltic Basin is what they're looking at. And they want to have a mega port. Theirs is in what I think Kaliningrad is what it's in. Yeah. So they're wanting a deep water port. Now in the Black Sea, you have Sevastopol, and that is it's described as a warm deep water port, and they lease it from Ukraine. Oh, now it's making sense, isn't it? They lease it from Ukraine. Now, back when we had the big Crimean annexation and all this. Go ahead, let me go back to 2014 here. This is why Russia has made the moves that it did in Crimea and elsewhere. So back in 2014, when the Crimean ministers voted to join the Russian Federation and secede from Ukraine, they wanted to organize this referendum. There was division because they were going to be getting kickbacks to help facilitate this whole process for Russia. And Ukraine's interim prime minister at the time told the parliament that nobody in the civilized world is going to recognize this referendum because it actually didn't really go along with Ukraine's constitution. And there's a bunch of other nuanced details to that, but that's not the point. And so Russia had helped set that up. Putin helped set that up, and they were using that to further divide so that it could get Russia closer to getting that port and Sevastopol. And it's basically on this a peninsula in the Black. It's like jutted out into the Black Sea. It's on this peninsula in the Black Sea, and it's further to the west in the Black Sea than Russia's port that they have. And they really want it because it's a very strategic and very important base. I mean, the way that it's shaped, you know, the peninsula kind of juts out in the middle of the Black Sea. So you're right there kind of in the middle of the Black Sea and directly across from Istanbul, and to be able to pass through there and get to the Aegean Sea and then get out into the Mediterranean. And Sevastopol is important because it's Russia's only warm water base. And the only reason that they've been able to access it is because of a treaty that has been in place since 1997 that they had with Ukraine. They wanted to be able to keep their Black Sea fleet and their 15,000 member personnel. They wanted to keep everything intact, and they wanted to lease this base. Now, the base's lease was expected to go to 2042. So this has been important for Russia to project a position of power globally. And there's been a lot of activity because they've had conflict with Georgia. They've had, you know, I mean, this is it's important. It's important for them. And after the Syrian civil war, it became an even more urgent need for Russia because Russia had to stop using their naval base in the Syrian port of Tartus last year. And so that's why this leased base from Ukraine became even more important. And so that's ultimately, this is so important to them. And they've been, I mean, there's a great piece over at Global Security that I had, because I talked about this on air at the time. And they talk about Russia's long quest for these warm water ports. They must be able to accommodate the extent of their needs and et cetera. And, you know, the Brits had access to everything. They want to be able to have access to everything. They want to be able to get and have this deep warm water port and be able to easily access this area without having to lease from Ukraine. They can't be ignorant to Ukraine and then risk losing their lease. So that's really ultimately why they want this. That's why they were annexing Crimea, et cetera. So they've been doing this for over a century, fighting this and trying to expand this access. So, I mean, in Europe, they've been mostly landlocked, except with the one in Kaliningrad, or the one that they have one little port there. And then they were using some of the stuff with, as I was just talking about, with Syria. So this is the reason that they use the term warm water port is, I mean, it's cold water, but it's water that doesn't freeze. So it's a port where it can be wintertime and the water is not going to freeze. So they're not going to be limited by that. And that is a huge geopolitical interest for countries, you know, like Russia. So that's why this is so. Now you can kind of understand the significance of this. And this is what they've been pushing for. They've been pushing for this for quite some time. And so it's strategic. This is all about advancing their power. So back to John Kirby's like, well, we just don't really know their intentions. Are you high? Hell, we all know their intentions. How do you not? Are you too busy reading White Rage and doing, you know, book groups with Mark Milley, having your little book club? I mean, this is the key. That's the key to Russia's power. Everybody knows this. Why they refuse to acknowledge it is nuts. It's just nuts to me. I was looking at this piece, pulled this up from the Mirror. This was in April of this year. They said Russia and Ukraine on doorstep of war with 500,000 troops on the move. Doorstep of war. And when asked if Russia was on this, because they were talking about the unprecedented mobilization of Russian forces, they, you know, practically we are is what they're all. It's not hot yet, but it's right there. It's right there. We're going to talk more about this here, and we're also going to talk about why it's important for the United States, because I want to look at both aspects of this. Why is something like this important to the United States? What interest does this affect? We'll talk about that here as well coming up. I wanted to also make sure that we're getting in everything that we want to get in. I have to share this with you as well, too, because this, I saw this piece this morning from the New York Times, and it's on the president's pick for a banking regulator. Do you remember this Saleh Omarova? This woman, she was a Cornell Law School professor, and the president picked her for this, you know, position for this banking regulator. And it was Office of the Comptroller of Currency that regulates the country's biggest banks. And so the New York Times was, the way that they put this, it was kind of funny, that because they were tweeting out that Republicans were painting her as a communist, etc. Well, you know why she was painted as a communist, right? Because not just because she's an alumni of Moscow State University, but because she also wrote a thesis celebrating Marxism in which she refused to turn over when they were evaluating her career to determine whether or not she was a good pick for this position. That kind of is a little, you know, that kind of insight's a little important in this, don't you think? Just a little bitty bit. You would think so. Also, some wokery talking about cultural revolutions and Marxism. George Orwell's estate has approved the retelling of 1984 from a woman's point of view. They say Orwell's classic gets a feminist perspective in Julia, which I think is funny. Because Julia, if you don't remember this, back in 2013, 2014, the Obama-Biden administration put out this faceless woman named Julia that was supposed to represent all American women, and with her vague beigery. And she was supposed to represent all women. And it was about her being a single mom and not, there's no men in her life, apparently. And it was just weird and it was condescending. And so it became a fun thing to make fun of for a good year. And it's weird that they decided to call it Julia. But I also think that it's a great misunderstanding of, I was actually kind of shocked that Orwell's estate actually agreed with this, because the story of, I mean, 1984 isn't, there's no themes of masculinity or femininity in this. And that's kind of the point. Establishing a theme of femininity, in my opinion, completely undermines the entire point of the clinical storytelling that Orwell uses in order to evoke the very stripped down, identity-less society that was established for that tyranny of Big Brother to thrive. And that was ultimately the point. And so it tells the story. I mean, obviously you have Winston Smith and, you know, they have this, you know, big tyrannical leader, Big Brother, and it's this, you know, it's a warning of totalitarianism, etc. And Orwell's estate said that they were looking for some time for an author to tell the story of Winston Smith's lover, the woman in the piece. And I just, is it necessary? I mean, I just don't understand. I don't know if it's necessary. They said that two of the unanswered questions in his novel are what Julia sees in Winston and how she's navigated her way through the party hierarchy. She, Sandra, gets under the skin of Big Brother's world in a convincing way, which is true to the original, blah, 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 blah. What? Well, you can understand why she likes Winston. I mean, I thought that that was pretty clear in the very beginning when she would see his hesitation in the 2 minutes hate and how he was really reluctant to participate until he started getting looked at by some of Big Brother surrogates. And that's when he started yelling, but not to the degree which everyone else was. I mean, she noticed that there was resistance within him. And that was what ultimately that was an identity bond. That was a bond of identity that they shared apart from the very stripped down, clinical, tyrannical world of Big Brother. And that's ultimately what established the interest. I mean, my gosh, does this have to be baby-splained to people? What the hell? Are we just going to dumb down every great work because everyone's focusing on pronouns and no one's actually, you know, getting educated? Jeebus. G-E-E-B-U-S. All right, so we have more to... I gotta wear my hat and a turtleneck tomorrow just to tick people off. I almost shut down all comments on Instagram yesterday because I got so aggravated with people. I mean, I have zero tolerance for that stuff. And I told everybody yesterday, I was like, look, if you think that this is going to be a... If you think that I do, you know, fashion influencer stuff and that I'm going to like super filter my photos before putting them on Instagram, if that's what you're looking for, there's a dime a dozen somewhere else. I wore a sock hat and a turtleneck a couple of days ago when it was cold, December, cold in the studio. Someone called me a Muslim sellout. Actually, several people did on Instagram. What? Kane, you saw some of this stuff yesterday.
I was kind of blown away.
Kind of. It was nuts.
It's not like you're not, it wasn't HD video.
I was doing radio.
Right.
I'm like, listen here, because, you know, I noticed that some of these people, I'm like, listen here, fat ass, it's a radio show. It's not television. If I want to wear a sock hat, I'm going to wear a sock hat. Am I here to, like, put on lipstick for you and make kissy faces, or I'm here to read you the news? Like, look, you know, if you're more interested in fashion and makeup, you know, baby, maybe Vogue and Glamour are more, those lady mags are more your speed. If my show has too much balls for you, sorry. It's not my problem. That's yours. I don't share your weakness. I'd agree with you, but then we'd all be wrong. Anyway, I had to get that off my shoulders because I was mad. I'm like, we're conservatives. We're better than this. Like, are we seriously? Some of them I thought were greeting stands. I really did. You know, it's kind of hard to walk back from bashing the Second Amendment. I hear Trump's super. People are trying to get him to endorse in that race, but I'm told by so many of my very well-placed birds that Trump does not like people who shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Oh, I love AC/DC. I love the song. It really is great. I took my kids to go see AC/DC. Yes, I did. I was like, thy first concert shall be AC/DC. And my kids were like, what? You can't believe you're taking it. I'm like, yes, I am. I had some parents who are like, you took your kids to see AC/DC? Yes, I did. And? I'm sorry for the girls you're raising. I mean, boys you're raising. And? Not even doing this. Not even. You got to, moms, dads raising with to be men, and moms encourage it. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. And seriously, by the way, is there any family reunion that you can have without playing AC/DC? Am I the only family that plays them when we all get together? You know what I'm saying? Like, you go and you have that barbecue. You know what I mean? Like, you play good tunage. AC/DC. Just like at a wedding, you play Shook Me All Night Long. That's the rule. That is the song, by the way. I guarantee you, if you bet on this with somebody, I'm going to make you rich. Someone in that room, if you're at a wedding and Shook Me All Night Long comes on, someone goes, this is my song, and they will slam their drink down on the table and get up and awkwardly make their way, stumble into the dance floor. Hands to sky. You bet on that, and I will make you a rich man or woman. That you can take to the bank every also, time.
Air guitar whenever Thunderstruck comes on.
Oh, my gosh, right? That for sure. Or Sweet Child of Mine.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Air guitar every single time. And the chorus sounds horrible. And if you play Gwen Stefani's Hollaback Girl, all the drunk bridesmaids forget how to spell bananas. So that's something else. Take it to the bank. So if you're at a wedding, bet a drunk bridesmaid. If have the DJ play that song. Bet a drunk bridesmaid that she can't spell bananas without listening to the song. Because it's always B-A-N-A-N-A, yes. Bananas. Stay with us. We got more of the show coming up. Stephen Moore will be joining us. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then, Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now, Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied so long as there's someone who's who is eligible and hasn't been. And that's why I've said this. There's not going to be an end point to this vaccination program. Once we're rolling out boosters now, so we've got another, you know, wave of people that we need to make sure that we're protecting again. So those who were vaccinated 6 months ago, we really need them to come back, or we need to go to them.
What? That's Jacinda Ardern. She's the New Zealand Prime Minister. There's not going to be an end point to this vaccination program. It's not. They said that, not me. What? Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you this Wednesday. That's not unlike what we're sort of hearing from Anthony Fauci, who was on television just a little bit ago, in fact, that audio's in Slack, that he was asked, because what was it? It was like a month ago. Kane was fully vaxxed, was two boosters, right?
Well, yeah. It was the shot and a booster, I thought, okay, is what it was.
So he was asked about the definition now of fully vaxxed. And this is what he was talking to Andrea Mitchell. And actually, I think it was last night. This is what he said when she asked him about this.
Opposition now in Congress. And of course, the states, even in Democratic states, Governor Whitmer in Michigan and other places, it's becoming just a political chest, and the outlook is not at all a sure thing in the court system. Is there any thought of backing off of that and trying to avoid, you know, all the outcry against it?
Yeah, but, you know, Andrew, we really have to get people vaccinated. I mean, I understand, and we all understand, how people do not like to be told what to do. They want to make their own choice and their own free will. I get that, and I respect that. But these are unusual times, and you can't think only of yourself and your own personal opinion, but you've got to think about your communal responsibility to get yourself and your family, and indirectly then, the community protected. So I would prefer, and we all would prefer, that people would be voluntarily getting vaccinated. But if they're not going to do that, sometimes you've got to do things that are unpopular, but that clearly supersede individual choices.
What?
You can come and bring it, Hoggle, if you want to. But that's Fauci just yesterday on MSNBC. Unpopular? What about unlawful? You know, that's a phrase that's even more important than unpopular. Right. What about unlawful? I mean, that's the thing. You don't have the right to do this, to force people. And that's what I would just come out and say it. Quit this cowardly crap. Just come out and say what it is that you're wanting to do. What is it that you're wanting to do to people? Mandatory vaccinations. Ultimately, that's what he wants. He wants mandatory vaccinations, mandatory injections. That's what he's referring to. Sometimes you got to do things that are unpopular, but that clearly supersede individual choices. There's nothing that supersedes an individual choice. Nothing. Nothing supersedes an individual choice. The end. And that's not just to force people to do that isn't just unpopular. It's unconstitutional. Why is he even being asked about something like this? You know, if he was a more humble man, he would say, you know what, Andrea, that's a political question. And I'm just here to talk about the nature and behavior of the virus and future variants. You should probably save the policy questions for the people who make policy. But he likes the attention. He likes this appeal to authority that networks like MSNBC and CNN, etc., do. He likes this appeal to authority, and he likes the camera attention more than he actually likes preserving the public trust in him as an unbiased scientist and medical professional. So that's where, you know, when you talk about respecting authority, he doesn't respect the people who invest the power in him for that. Actually, we don't. It's the people who elect him or appoint him. So, no. No, sir.
By the way, I also found some audio from this morning where he's essentially directing families to get vaccination, proof from your family when you're together in Christmas time.
Yeah, let's hear this.
As we have traditionally over the years, dinners and gatherings within the home with people who are vaccinated. And that's the reason why people should, if they invite people over their home, essentially ask and maybe require that people show evidence that they are vaccinated.
No. That's it. Just no. No.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's not. We're not doing that, and that's not gonna happen. Sorry. Sorry to burst your little tyrant bubble there, but not gonna happen. Mm-mm. And listen to The View. This was them blaming the unvaccinated, which, by the way, it's mutations result from resistance. and the virus tries to find a way around it. So this is not even scientifically accurate, but just, you know, for illustration. 13.
Well, you know, it was interesting to me that the argument was being made, if you're vaccinated, why do you care about me being vaccinated? You're protected. And that's why we are at the Omicron variant, right? That's why we are where we are, because it's mutating. It's becoming this crazy superbug inside of the people that aren't vaccinated.
That's not how science, like, works. Like, oh my gosh, like...
Omicron.
There's a saying in my house. After we watched Ghost Stories, the English dub, I think you have to be into it because someone's like, I watched this and I do not understand you. That's fine. Kane, do you know what I'm talking about? He's acting like a total, like, so The View sounds like a bunch of Ketcheros sitting there talking. If you watch that show, you know what that means. That's a saying in our house. Like, stop being such a Ketchero. And that The View sounds like a bunch of Ketcheros sitting there. And did you know that if you put a leech on you, it sucks the bad spirits out of your body? My goodness. Oh, my word. I didn't even know who was talking. Who was it was talking then? I don't even know. I don't even know who all these broads are. There's some broad. There's Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and some broads. Some other broads. I don't know. After Megan Leth, I don't even know. It just got dumb. Goodness. Now, speaking of this, by the way, I want to revisit really quickly. Do you remember Jacinda Ardern saying that there's always going to be boosters and all this stuff? Did you guys hear about Finland's prime minister over the weekend? Because, you know, in Finland, everybody's not locked down. You have all these other leaders from Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, and you have other, like in Australia, who you have Angela Merkel's second in command. And they're telling everyone, stay, you know, don't, you know, get have gatherings, et cetera, et cetera. So in Finland, she's a 36-year-old social democratic, which is stupid, social democratic prime minister, because they've had a lot of, you know, push. They've had a lot of some, you know, and under Finland, their guidelines. If you're a double jab, you don't have to isolate if you come in contact with a positive case, but people are supposed to avoid social contact if they're waiting for access through tests, blah, 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 blah. And she's 36 years old, and she went out clubbing till 4 a.m., left her work phone at home, and was unreachable to get a text telling her that she needed to quarantine. And she's like, sorry for clubbing after I had contact with COVID. Sorry. She's center, that's the center-left coalition. So she's like, they're probably super lefty. But she apologized for not double-checking the code. First off, she's 36 years old and she's clubbing till 4 a.m. Dude, are you like snorting coke? Like what, how is that happening? That's some coke fuel. That's okay. Because I mean, 36 years old, you don't go clubbing at 4 a.m. Oh my gosh, like you're up at midnight at 36 years old and you're like, oh my gosh, why is it so late? It's a true story. That to me was the biggest takeaway in the story, that she was 36 years old and she was out clubbing till 4 a.m. That was the biggest takeaway. I know the COVID thing, but Kane, 36 years old. Yeah. I think I started turning into a pumpkin at midnight when I was 30. It'd be midnight and I'm like, oh my god, ooh, suddenly I'm so tired, I'm gonna fall asleep. I can't be out late. I can't. My word. But just too ridiculous. I have a few other things here. I wanna switch gears and move on to some of this other stuff. We gotta talk about wokery. I didn't want to talk about this, but I like making fun of him. And ridicule's an art. And it's an art that I love and fully appreciate, and it's an American pastime. So you have, what's that? What's his face? The ginger spare from England? His eyes are real close together. Harry. Harry Ginger. Stop it. He got married to that briefcase girl. Or is it just me, or are they trying to make her out to be like this major star? I read an article about this because I kept seeing this fly up and I keep seeing everybody talking about this story. This is not about royalty. It's a rather about how stupid they are as it relates to working for a living. Anyway, he married this like suitcase girl who's a clout chaser and they sign everything. The Duke and Duchess. You're in America and you're an American and you're lobbying lawmakers about bills, signing the Duchess of Sussex. I think they pull their stupid titles. This is so stupid. Good in heavens. So my purpose in bringing this up is he was, I don't know what he does. Like he left England and he just is a guy who sends out, like his job is sending out press releases and doing startups that you never hear anything else about. That's it. And he's told everybody, apparently, as his chief impact officer. What the hell is even that? What is chief impact officer? At the San Francisco-based, like, woke startup. I don't even know the stupid name of it. And he was telling people that, you know, work can be very unfulfilling. And sometimes, you know, you know, not working is the thing to do to make yourself happy. He said, if you're not enjoying work, you should just pack it in and walk out like 3 weeks before Christmas. That's what he's saying. A guy who's literally, he was born as a prince, bankrolled by his rich, stuffy daddy. He's got, you know, millions and millions of dollars of inheritance from his mommy tucked away in the bank. And he married a chick who was bankrolled by her rich camera person daddy, and she tried to appropriate being poor to, you know, to sort of have some kind of empathy with the poors. And she was a briefcase girl, and she did some Canadian TV show, and she marries a prince, and they're going to sit here and be like, well, you know, if you're unhappy, you shouldn't work. Not everybody has a rich daddy that bankrolls them. And not everyone married a literal prince after opening briefcases on television as a job. Like, that was your job. You opened up a briefcase. Like, Vanna White spelled. You just opened a briefcase. Like, who are these people? Shut up. They're so insufferable. Stay in your Olive Garden mansion in Montecito with all your breadsticks and just shut up. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what the Duke and Duchess have to say. Oh, my God. No, nobody cares. But how does going broke and not being able to pay your bills make you happy? Is the bigger question. Huh? So coming up, oh, wait until you hear about this. So USA Today publishes a piece wherein they say that math is racist and that they need to promote equity and access and that math teachers are shifting towards inclusive instruction and how gifted students are bad, apparently. Next, they're going to go after everyone's glasses like Pol Pot. Wireless service is more than just connecting, sharing, and productivity. It's about trusting that your provider shares your values and cares about you. There's no one you can trust more than Patriot Mobile. America's only Christian conservative-based wireless company, Patriot Mobile gives a portion of every dollar to support the things you believe in, such as the First, Second Amendment, veterans, first responders, sanctity of life. You can help mobilize freedom by switching to Patriot Mobile today. With a 100% U.S.-based team, Patriot Mobile has the highest rating for customer service of any wireless company. Patriot Mobile listens to you and won't try to sell you what you don't need. They'll work to find a plan that fits any budget and their broad, dependable coverage. Switch to Patriot Mobile today and get free activation and a free gift with promo code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. When you switch, use promo code Dana for free activation and a free gift.
If you make a mistake or don't quite hit the mark, does that mean you're a bad person? Pastor Alan Jackson doesn't think so.
One of my favorite parts of the Bible is that all of our heroes have flaws. And there's nobody in there that the story's not told about.
Yeah.
And when I hear Christians stand up, because I've been married 63 years and I've never been mad at my wife, I think either, well, you're too stupid to be aware or you're lying to me, because life comes with challenges.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is straight up freaky. An assisted suicide pod. It's a suicide pod. Approved for use in Switzerland. So it is a 3D printed pod. It's not a pod. It's a coffin. Let's be real with it. It's a coffin pod. And it looks like a space thing that you would get in to sleep while you're jumping into hyperspace. But then you wake up, but not with this pod. It's a suicide pod. It's designed to kill you. Assisted suicide is legal in a number of countries, including Switzerland. Now, they said the whole thing takes 30 seconds. Death takes place through hypoxia and hypocapnia. Oxygen and carbon dioxide deprivation, respectively. There's no panic. There's no choking feeling. They said that the pod starts the process of flooding the inside with nitrogen. That reduces the oxygen level from 21 to 1%. The person feels disoriented and slightly euphoric, and then they lose consciousness, and it kills them. That's what it is. And it looks... It is the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's a suicide pod. Oh, my gosh. Which is also, I don't know, an album name or a band name. Additionally, Hillary Clinton says that she put this video out where she's crying. She tweets, "I'm excited to invite you to my new masterclass. I'll be teaching the skills I developed throughout my career, the challenges, the triumphs, and the rest." I asked Kane if I should retweet it and say, does this include killing someone and making it look like a suicide? Just, you know, curious. But she, in this interview that she did with the Today Show to talk about this, she read her 2016 victory speech that she would have given if she was able to cheat her way to victory. And then she like cried. So I actually was confused, and I'm like, is the masterclass about acting or is it about the suicide thing? I'm just curious. So just, you know, we're all wanting to know. Australia joins the United States in a completely meaningless diplomatic boycott of the Olympics. Canada ditches Moderna, the booster, for Pfizer because they say myocarditis risk that's cited in their official reason. We have a lot more on the way, including the most mispronounced words of the year.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
At least two parents in the LA Unified School District are accusing schools of giving their kids the vaccine without their consent. Maribel Duarte says that her 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South LA, brought home this vaccine card after getting the shot at school. And she says that he said yes when somebody offered the vaccine in exchange for some pizza.
It hurt it to know that he got a shot without my permission, without me even knowing or signing any papers for him to get the shot.
Yeah. What? That's pretty unbelievable. That's tyranny, man. That happened just this week. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you this Wednesday in our second hour. That's pretty... That's nuts. This is, I can't imagine what my reaction would be to inject kids with that, with this G variant or the G virus. I'm not calling it COVID anymore. It's G virus. Let's be real. To inject them without their parents' permission is inexcusable. That is some straight up tyranny. Gave him some pizza. I mean, I love pizza too. You know, I'm just saying. Like if, you know, you had Pennywise the Clown appear in a storm grate. I was like, hey, we got pizza down here. I'd be like, and dogs. Okay. So, I just saying. Oh my gosh. That's, I tell you what. I did, by the way, sidebar. So, I got to go back to the Hillary Clinton thing. Hillary Clinton had tweeted, I'm excited to have you join my new masterclass. I don't even know. What is she teaching a masterclass on? So I tweeted, I quote tweeted it, and I said, how to make murder look like suicide. LOL, just kidding. Don't kill me. Just so she would know that I was kidding and also to not kill me. I don't want to be fostered. Just saying. Felt like I wanted to share that so you could. I told you that I was very smart aleck today. It's not my problem. She cried in this thing. What is she teaching him how to lose an election a lot? How to always get passed over despite the fact that you placed yourself as like the female chosen one? I don't know. Okay, so yeah, that thing at the school, can you imagine if somebody were to, oh man, can you imagine Mama Dana down there at school? Do you want to? That's the bigger question. Tonight on Cops. That's what it would end up being, that. And it would be me in the school yelling, and then there would be the police outside. And they would be like, I don't know, man, she's justified. I feel like, you know, we just got to stand here and make sure everything's okay, but she's totally justified. That's what that would be. A few other things to get in here as well. Okay, so I wanted to bring this story up because there was a lot of conversation about this last night. This guy who, Marine veteran, and I mentioned it yesterday, and he's suing because he was stopped by police. He was on his way, as I understand it, to California. And he was stopped by a Nevada State Highway Patrol. And they took from him almost $90,000, his life savings. Now, this happened. Now, the reason why it's making news, it happened in February of this year. But now it's going like they're in a legal dispute. So now it's a legal headline because there's been developments in this. So the government. So what happened is police pulled this guy over, and it's all on camera. They pulled this guy over, Stephen Lara, and it was near Reno. He consented to a search, and that's when officers discovered nearly $90,000 in bundled cash in his backpack. And he was not arrested. He was not charged with a crime. But yet, they took his money anyway, because it's called civil asset forfeiture, which is not, it's theft. Civil asset forfeiture, it's theft. And everyone's always like, oh, well, you know, this is, what was he doing? Did he have that? And we're going to get to that in a minute. Why did he have that much money on it? And so it was all on camera. They went through, they discovered $90,000 in bundled cash in his backpack. He wasn't arrested. The officers claimed the money was drug trafficking proceeds, and they seized it through civil asset forfeiture. They brought dogs out, and they said, oh, the dog's alerted to something. And he's like, look, that's money that I worked really hard for. He had ATM receipts that it was his money, that he had pulled it all out. He had everything to back it up, that it was not counterfeit or gotten, you know, in an illegal manner. The Institute for Justice filed suit on his behalf against the DEA because his money's been there for more than 6 months. And he said, I was just literally robbed on the side of the road by people that had badges and guns. And he was going to California from Texas to visit his daughters for the weekend. And he said, I don't have banks, so I keep my own money with me. And they go, oh, well, you fit the profile of a trafficker. You're driving a rental car. You know what? When I go on road trips, I get a rental car. You got a rental car. Anything that's suspected of being connected to criminal activity without charging the owner, we can seize that through civil asset forfeiture. And then the officer even acknowledged in a video that there was not anything illegal about traveling domestically with a large amount of cash. My friend Dave Burge said this should go into the Louvre of civil asset forfeiture, like thievery nonsense, because that's exactly what it is. There was a woman too who was on a flight. She was going, she was at actually, and I talked about this yesterday, a canine officer alerted to cash in her bag and they found $100,000 of it. She was at DFW or Dallas Love Field. Now, by the way, the law on this, let's be really clear. Internationally, you have to claim something over $10,000. You have to claim over $10,000. If you're flying domestically, you don't. So people need to stop that right now. You don't fill out a customs and border form when you're flying domestically with stuff. That's so stupid. You do not. And I went and I have the statute on that. It's only if you're going internationally do you have to claim $10,000. If you're with cash, you have to claim that. But you do not do that domestically. You don't fill out forms domestically. If I'm flying with cash on me from Chicago, from Dallas to Chicago, I don't have to sit here and fill out a form. Nobody does that. That does not happen. I've flown internationally. I've had to claim things internationally. But nothing I've ever had to pay anything on, because it's just like, you know, if you're like souvenir, I had a conch shell and I wrote that down on the form. I'm like, look, here's my stuff. It's $25. So all of this is I was watching the discussion on that and I was just kind of stunned, because that's robbery. And they had and I love dogs, but they had a picture of the dog, like for instance, at Dallas Love Field with all this cash that they took. And the idea that someone travels with a lot of cash on them, it can be crazy because you could be held up, but it's not illegal. It's not illegal to make dumb decisions with your money like that. My friend Dave shared a story about how he sold a car to a guy, a nice car, to a guy who drove from Texas to Chicago to get it. Dave used to live in Chicago and moved to Austin. He said, paid in cash, and it was a ton of money. Gave me the number of his bank in Texas. They all verified that he made the cash withdrawal 2 days earlier, so nothing counterfeit. I asked him if he was nervous driving 1,200 miles with that much cash on him, and he laughed. He goes, no, I always travel with my friend. He showed him his 45 he kept under the seat of his truck. He goes, I never asked him why he wanted to pay cash. It was none of my business. I thought he was nuts, not because of the threat of robbers, but because of the threat of asset forfeiture cops. He said at that point, his 45 would be useless or get him thrown in jail or killed. He's like, I'm pretty sure telling the cop I'm using it to buy a car wouldn't wash. Dave tweets, he did this yesterday. He tweets, anyway, he was an older white guy in a pickup with a trailer, so maybe he really didn't have much to worry about. Now imagine two younger guys, maybe they're Hispanic or black, traveling to buy a cheap old car for $7,000 and they get pulled over. Now it's asset forfeiture open season. Fact is, it's at the discretion of the cop. And if you can't explain to the cop's satisfaction why you got that much money, they can conclude it wasn't acquired illegally and screw you, hire a lawyer to prove it wasn't, which may cost you more than the cash that was seized itself. And the money that's confiscated, he says, goes, and which it does, it stays right with the cops. And they can do whatever they want. As of 2014, the majority of asset forfeiture actually surpassed burglaries. Do you guys know that? In 2014, and this is according to the Institute for Justice, FBI Uniform Crime Reports, asset forfeiture surpassed burglaries. Top annual dollar value of assets seized by the feds exceeded that from burglary losses. And it doesn't matter if somebody wants to carry whatever or how much money, it doesn't make it sketchy if they have a lot of money on them. Just because your mind can do a lot imaginatively does not make them guilty. I mean, good heavens. It is, and I agree with what's been said about it, it's an abomination against due process. I can't believe that this is policy, but guess who expanded it? By the way, do you guys want to hear who actually expanded civil asset forfeiture? Because think about this. It's legalized robbery, and the man responsible for expanding and creating this law is Joe Biden. I want you to listen to this audio. This was Joe Biden on the floor. This was in 1991 when he was a senator. In fact, it was June 21st, 1991, where he was celebrating his creation of civil asset forfeiture laws and more. Listen to this.
Severe penalties. We changed the law so that if you are arrested and you are a drug dealer, under our forfeiture statutes, the government can take everything you own. Everything from your car to your house, your bank account, not merely what they confiscate in terms of the dollars from the transaction that you've just got caught engaging in. They can take everything. We have laws in the last several years where we don't allow judges' discretion to sentence people. Flat time sentencing. You get caught, you go to jail. Well, all of these tools have been at the president's disposal for the last 100 weeks and more. Now, if America's crime problem is worse than it ever was, it's not because the Congress has failed to give the president the tools. It's done its part, but rather because the administration has failed to use the power given to it by the Congress over the last 5 years, and in particular the last 100 weeks, to bring this epidemic under control.
Yeah. He bragged about it. Imagine going on television bragging about that. Bragging about your expansion of civil asset forfeiture. He was trying to go after H.W. Bush and try to shame him as being soft on crime. Chuck Modi, who does sports over at Deadspin, says that his crime, even though his crime drug bills started in 94, but 1982, they did not begin in 1984. They actually began in 1982. So not 94, in 1982 is when his first stuff started, you know, his first huge policy act was he created civil asset forfeiture laws with Strom Thurmond. He has judiciary co-chairs. And Modi notes that Joe Biden explained how he cut a deal with Strom Thurmond to keep liberals away from killing the deal. He and this piece, and I think this is WAPO, an old piece, he said, quote, Biden recalled, he finally figured out I was serious and that he could work with me. I told him, and I told my Democratic colleagues, I'll make a deal. If you keep your right-wing guys from killing this bill, I'll keep the liberals off the bill, end quote. Goes up and brags about it. Unbelievable. It's theft. You and it is absolute theft, and it's an obliteration of due process. Again, I back the blue, but I don't back the obliteration of due process, nor do I back the enforcement of it. I do not support civil asset forfeiture. I don't support it. I don't support the enforcement of it. I don't support it as policy. It's a Democrat policy that was created by Joe Biden, and why in the hell anyone would defend this abomination is beyond me. They're not. It's not a conservative position, and it's not conservative to defend it. We have more in store that you don't want to miss. Lots and lots of stuff. If you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about Delta Rescue, and this is an organization that is so incredibly important to me, and right now they need your support more than ever. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many animals. Join me today in becoming a member of the Delta Rescue team with your donation. Leo Grillo, the founder of Delta Rescue, is dedicated to giving the animals he rescues the life they deserve. Donate what your heart tells you to today in remembrance of a beloved pet that made you feel the way Leo feels about all of his rescue animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana and press the green donate button. And while you're at deltarescue.org/Dana, request my free estate package for information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well on into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. So show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some people testing me today with us. Kane, I'm going to put this in Slack, and then you can tell me what you think about this story. Oh, yeah, we're here. Here we are. So there is controversy in Fort Myers Beach.
Oh, boy.
Because of a store name. And we're going to... this is where all my creativity's got to show up, man. So let me figure out a way to say the name of the store. It is called Big Richard's Salty Seaman's Fun Shop. Talking about sailors in a way. It's not Richard though. And the manager said it's kind of a capital on the fun because everything in here will make you laugh. And some, though, are not laughing at the sign on the new store. It's on Old San Carlos Boulevard. Dan Allers, a Fort Myers Beach councilman, says, I don't know if it's necessarily family friendly. Let's just put it that way. So Allers brought the T-shirt's name up during a Monday council meeting. And apparently this story originated in the Ozarks. Oh, it gets crazier. So it was... They said it's the name's not for gags. It has a history. They said the company, I love how they make this. Like, this is the defense that they had in the council meeting. They said the company started with Big Richard's, except not Richard's, Halfway End in the Lake of the Ozarks. Up in Missouri, a truck driver named Dick, who was rather large, started the business. A restaurant was followed by a gift shop. And then the Big Richard retired to Florida and became the Salty Seaman. So because he was like boats and stuff. And so now they said that they're capitalizing on the brand he started decades ago, selling stuff that may not be safe for work, like knickknacks and T-shirts. They say there's a laugh on every rack. And the councilman asked the town's attorney to look at what they can do about the not so family friendly sign. Well, look, we all got to live with stuff. You just explain like, oh, well, you know, I mean, you got to explain to your how do you, it's a teaching moment. Come on. We did though. So you challenged me and I answered the call and we got that story in. Look at that. Don't you people do that again? We got third hour on the way next. Don't go anywhere. Do you sometimes find yourself wondering how much control you really have over your finances? Recently, we've seen a complete assault on freedoms and liberties by the government. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and now even vaccine passports, all trying to limit whether you can even go to a grocery store or restaurant. And we've seen how quickly the government can infringe on your personal freedoms. So are your personal finances next. This is why I believe in diversifying with gold. Gold is physical, it's tangible, and gold is safe from government control. Gold can give you true control over your wealth, control that's not tied to government-regulated financial markets. And the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide information at legacypminvestments.com. That's Legacy, the letter P, the letter M, investments.com.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to zbiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's zbiotics.com/radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Is this the first time you have an in-person meeting?
Can you answer my question first?
I mean, the meeting with Putin, I was very straightforward. There were no minced words. It was polite, but I made it very clear. If, in fact, he invades Ukraine, there will be severe consequences. Severe consequences. Economic consequences like none he's ever seen or ever have been seen in terms of being imposed. He knows his immediate response was he understood that, and I indicated I knew he would respond, but beyond that, if in fact we would probably also be required to reinforce our presence in NATO countries to reassure particularly those in the Eastern Front. In addition to that, I made it clear that we would provide the defensive capability to the Ukrainians as well. The positive news is that thus far our teams have been in constant contact. We hope by Friday we're going to be able to say and announce to you that we're having meetings at a higher level, not just with us, but with at least four of our major NATO allies and Russia to discuss the future of Russia's concerns relative to NATO writ large and whether or not we can work out any accommodations as it relates to bringing down the temperature along the Eastern Front.
Will you rule out troops on the ground, sir? Putting U.S. troops on the ground?
Yes. In terms of in Ukraine?
I said the campaign, Democrats, talking about U.S. troops being needed on the ground in or around Ukraine to stop an invasion. Will you rule that out, or is that on the table?
That is not on the table. What is not, they are not. We have a moral obligation and a legal obligation to our NATO allies if they were to attack under Article 5. It's a sacred obligation. That obligation does not extend to NATO, I mean to Ukraine, but it would depend upon what the rest of the NATO countries were willing to do as well. But the idea the United States is going to unilaterally use force to confront Russia invading Ukraine is not on the, in the cards right now.
Ooh, and there it is. There it is. So, welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. It's Wednesday. Good to be with you. And this is going to be the big discussion that is going to be taking place in the next, going into the new year. And this is what we have to have. We have to get this situated now, right? So, first off, this... And again, happy to have you. And I'm going to lay this out on the newsletter too, chapter and verse. So make sure you sign up for that email because it'll probably be later tonight because it's not all the way finished yet. It's like three quarters of the way done. So here's what we have to consider, and I'm going to look at this in a very geopolitical sense, very clinical sense. And a strategy that best benefits the United States. And the way that I use to measure that is I have kids who are fighting, well, my oldest is a fighting age. If all hell broke loose and people needed to fight, he said, well, there you go. A lot of your kids out there too. So I measure it by that. What keeps my kid the safest and our country the safest? What is a good use of resource and what is not a good use of resource? So you know, that's framing the perspective that I have in the manner in which I look at this. So you have two different players. You have China and you have Russia. They are not friends, but they are allies against the United States. So let's establish that. You also have their targets, Taiwan for China, Ukraine for Russia. And they're not entirely different, the reason why they're targeting both of these entities. Now, let's look at Russia here, because this is the thing that's the most pressing. although I think China is the bigger enemy. China is more threatening than Russia at this point. And so, in looking at this, there is this, and I was giving you the history of this crisis between Ukraine and Russia. And it has to do with what they call a warm deep water port. And what that just means is that it's water that does not freeze over. And it's a deep water port. It's it is the Sevastopol deep water port has been a desire of Russia's for some time. And they need that in the Black Sea to maintain their Black Sea fleet, to maintain their dominance. You have a quick, you know, go through Istanbul to the Aegean Sea, and then you're there in the Mediterranean. It is absolutely necessary if you are Russia to maintain that. They've leased it from Ukraine. And I think it's like till 2042, I think, is when it's that lease is set to expire. But that's not enough. They need to control it. And that's, by the way, it's a lot of people have said that Russia, in using the Sevastopol port, that's how they've supplied the Assad regime during the civil war in Syria. And there's a lot of stuff in place. Sevastopol has become incredibly crucial for Russia. And it's Ukraine's. And so the situation with Ukraine not being a NATO nation, if Russia was to invade and take over Ukraine, what should the response of the United States be? And things can be, we need to be real in that, things can be both uncomfortably true and horribly tragic at the same time. So if the United States gets involved, you'll have some European nations that get involved. But what about Germany? What about something like, what about, you know, Germany? Now, here's where this is where Nord Stream 2 comes in. Russia wanted to hurry up and get that pipeline completed so they could. And that's energy that goes to Germany. Germany got rid of all their nuclear powered plants. Russia wants to be able to supply energy, because if you supply energy, that gives you a degree of control. The pipeline, the existing one, ran partially through Ukraine, gave them a status as a transit state. And that was a huge protection for them. That's why Russia, honestly, I think, hasn't acted up to this point any further than they have. But now with the almost near completion of Nord Stream 2, and it was 98% complete, Trump stopped it, Biden reinstigated it, reinstated it, and then they'll bypass Ukraine, removing from them that protection as a transit state, and they're going to control energy, they're going towards Germany, or a good portion of it. So, and there's already problems right now with Russian energy and the reliability of it. Do you honestly think that Germany in the dead of winter is going to say, yeah, we're going to go ahead and take a stand against the people providing us energy? It helps destabilize the NATO alliance. Now, Ukraine is not a NATO nation. So what obligation? There isn't one, which, and I hate saying this. I hate saying that Biden's correct. This has nothing to do with whether he's just acknowledging what already exists in spite of him. It doesn't. His existing and his saying it is irrelevant to the fact that technically, when you look, there is no obligation for NATO to protect something that is not a NATO member. Ukraine's tried to be a NATO member. This is something that Putin's meeting with Biden, his virtual meeting with Biden, has always been about making sure that Russia needs to make sure that Ukraine does not join at all NATO. Now, what is going to be the response of the United States if there is, if Russia decides to invade? And I always feel like the people who are most eager to sign up the United States for war are not the people who have to say goodbye. They're not the people who are going to be putting on the uniform themselves. And I found throughout the years that they are also not the people who have to hug their loved ones goodbye and watch them walk off and wonder if they're going to return. And I've also discovered that they are not the people that sometimes have to meet those loved ones when they come back, but not in the manner that they think, but in a box draped with the American flag. So I don't like listening to those people. I don't like listening to War Inc. Because there is a military-industrial complex, and that's something that Dwight Eisenhower himself talked about when he was looking at all of these, you know, contracted agencies and all of these other people who could bring to, who could bear influence over our decisions as it relates to foreign policy. It's a very real thing, and Eisenhower discussed it. So, but here's the problem: if you have a very, very hardcore, super aggressive response from the United States, guess what you accomplish? You will strengthen Russia's association with that other geopolitical foe that I just mentioned a little bit earlier, China. This is not something that's acting, that's being acted upon in a vacuum. Everything affects everything here. Every decision must be carefully weighed out. If you rush in balls to the wall into this situation, guess what? You are potentially creating an even worse one. I'll be very straightforward about it. There's nothing at all whatsoever for the United States to gain in terms of committing ourselves to a ground war or any other kind of military armed conflict between us and on behalf of Ukraine with Russia. And you could say that for a lot of things, too. I know people are trying to make the argument about that with Taiwan. But China's more powerful than Taiwan, than Russia. I think China's more powerful than Russia. Although both of their economies are kind of on the edge of a knife, particularly China's. You have to, this has to be weighed out. And other countries need to step up. You know, for all of the complaining that all of these other countries do about the United States and nation building, who is it that is called whenever there's trouble? Who is it that's expected to commit their time and their blood and treasure? It's the United States. The United States is supposed to send their sons and daughters off to a faraway land to fight a conflict that started before they were even born, a conflict between nations to which they have no loyalty, fealty, or citizenship at all whatsoever. For whose interest? You know, this idea of self-defense, you know, just to bring up, pause off my cannon, doesn't just exist to the individual. People also need to want to be able to defend themselves. Don't tell me it can't be done, because it was done when a bunch of ragtag militias stood up against the greatest military power in the entire world to create this republic in which we all live, the freedoms of which we all enjoy now. But you got to be asymmetrical about it. So this is the lay of the land as it relates to Russia and Ukraine. And I have to say, I'm actually a little shocked that Biden, because when I hear the phrase neocon, I don't necessarily think Republican, although there are some of the Republican persuasion that are definitely neocon. That word is used so incorrectly, and it's basically used to describe people who are war hungry. But I do think it hasn't been used correctly since the fall of the Berlin Wall, but I think it's a little bit more accurate in use here when you're talking about Russia, Ukraine, and some of this old Soviet stuff. But I do think that China is the bigger threat. But China and Russia? There's a lot of stuff in play. And I also think the United States is being baited. We're going to talk about this more. And this is something we're going to keep an eye on. We're also going to get into some of the ridiculous stuff with the Biden bankrupt bill. Because the Biden bankrupt bill, all the stuff that's in this, wait until you hear about the suppression on medical innovation at a time when we need something like that the least. We're going to discuss that and more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, a couple headlines here. Let's see. This, the Maxwell, the Ghislaine Maxwell trial revealed Jeffrey Epstein's creepy massage room. By the way, I was looking at some of the photos from the trial of the interior of his home. And he had several. But why did it look so crappy? And there's apparently a photo of them kissing on a table in his one of their homes in the Bahamas. Oh my gosh, they met the Pope. That's how far this was. It's crazy. But there's, oh man, they had some creepy stuff in the coming out of that trial. Oh my goodness. The most mispronounced words of the year from Time Magazine. Apparently, Philadelphia Eagles Jason Kelsey and Billie Eilish's name are among the most mispronounced things. How is that? Chipotle, nobody can say Chipotle. Chuggy, that's what Gen Z says. Anything that's like unfashionable or anything particularly associated with millennials, like live, laugh, love, that's considered Chuggy. It's C-H-E-U-G-Y, Chuggy. Dogecoin, apparently nobody can pronounce that either. Stephen Moore joins us next.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
We're not expecting Republicans to do their part. They made it clear from the beginning. We tried asking to no avail. We're just asking them not to use procedural tricks to block us from doing the job that they won't do. Meteor is headed to crash into our economy. Democrats are willing to do all the work stopping it. Republicans just have to let us do our job. Just get out of the way. If you don't want to help save the country, get out of the way so you don't destroy it. We don't have time to delay with elaborate procedural schemes, which Republicans' proposals require. Scores of votes without any certainty at all. Many of which have nothing to do with the debt limit at all.
Well, this is all a feature of the system, not a bug of the system. That's kind of how it's supposed to work. That's the president of the United States discussing the debt ceiling, raising the debt ceiling, and he's angry at Republicans because they won't vote to do it. And why would they? When you consider inflation, you consider everything in the Biden bankrupt bill. Joining us now to talk about all of this is our friend, the very genius economist, Stephen Moore. He's the author of Trumponomics, a great book. And of course, you know him from FreedomWorks as well. And he's got a couple of really great pieces out there at Town Hall. Stephen, always so good to see you. I would just want to get your response to Biden blaming Republicans there, telling them to get out of the way.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess the word that comes to mind is chutzpah. You know, for a president who wants to spend and borrow and tax $6 trillion, which is more money than we spent to finance the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Cold War, the interstate highway system, the intercontinental rail system, and putting a man on the moon. And he accuses of Republicans of trying to train crash the economy. I mean, that's the most absurd thing I've ever seen. We should be actually, Dana, right now, since we're in a recovery, we should actually be cutting government spending now. If you add the $1.9 trillion bill, remember that was the one that passed in March, that was the blue state bailout bill. Then the $1.1 trillion sham infrastructure bill, plus this $3 trillion bill that they're trying to push through Congress now. That's $6 trillion. And I want to make your viewers and listeners understand, because people get confused about this. This is on top of the $5 trillion the government's going to spend already. So this is unlike anything we've seen. The height of the fiscal calamity is just breathtaking. And for Biden to say, gee, they won't raise the debt ceiling for us to accommodate their spending. Hell no, Republicans shouldn't be raising the debt ceiling.
Yeah. Why would they? I mean, it's inexcusable. You noted, too, and we're talking with Stephen Moore, wages up, what, a little over 4% over the year. Yeah. But prices are up over 6%. That does not reconcile.
No, you better believe it. And so, you know, again, Joe Biden runs around the country saying we've raised wages by 4%. Yeah. But as you just said, Dana, if your expenses are up 6%, you know, do the math. That means people's paychecks are actually shrinking and they're feeling it. You know, that's the thing about inflation. We don't really have to talk about it. We don't have to spin it one way or the other because people feel it every day. You know, at the grocery store. I love the CNN headline. I don't know if you saw it, Dana, last week. Inflation is good for you.
Yes.
I'm not making that up. Inflation is good for you. Go ask the guy at the gas station or at the grocery store. How do you like that inflation? Oh, yeah. We want more of it.
they say it's a sign of a healthy economy. I watched two talking heads on CNN say, oh, it's a sign of a healthy economy, you know, that prices are going up and things and the supply chain, all of that means that things are getting back to order. And it was said with such seriousness. It's not how it works.
No. So, in fact, you know, they believe in this idea that if you have a strong economy, that causes inflation. Wait a minute. We had a strong economy under Reagan. We had a really strong economy under Trump. And Dana, what happened to inflation? It didn't go up. It went down. So they've got their economics backward. And I'll tell you this. If you're concerned, folks, about the inflation that's out there, you know, if you think it's bad now, if they pass this $4 trillion debt bill, and I'm doing, as you know, everything I can with FreedomWorks and America Principles, First Principles Project to try to stop this bill because it will do so much damage to our country. And the American people get it. It's just the Democrats have those 50 votes in the Senate, and they're like those North Korean soldiers just, you know, marching lockstep right over a cliff.
Yeah. I'm talking with Stephen Moore, whose book Trumponomics details. In fact, he gets into all of his economic policies with the previous administration, which we didn't have. You're right. I mean, it was a great economy. I think that if we had not had such a strong economy, thanks to the former president's policies, that I think this pandemic and the lockdown would have been even more disastrous than it was. We would have been in a deeper hole, which is why it boggles my mind, Stephen, when I look at all of the everything that's being proposed, like our tax rate, talking about raising our tax rate to what, 57%, that France tried that. And correct me if I'm wrong on this. Didn't they try that with like a 60% tax rate, highest bracket tax rate? And it was a disaster and they ended up rolling it back.
Yeah, most of the countries that have tried, you know, tax rates as high as this have found that it's really damaged their economy significantly. When we cut, you're right, you know, I work with Donald Trump, when we cut those tax rates to 21%, and my God, I mean, it was like a magnet, you know, jobs, capital flowing into the United States. I remember talking to President Trump in the Oval Office about this, and I said, sir, this is even working better than we thought it would. And he smiled, he said, I knew this was gonna work. But you know, what is the economic objective? I mean, I asked my liberal friends, explain this to me. How are we gonna have a good economy if the United States has the highest tax rates in the world, which we would if this bill passes? And if you add, you left out, Dana, that if you add the state taxes,
oh, yes, that's right,
then you're talking about 65% tax rates if you live in New York or New Jersey or California.
I'm
or
in
my
Texas,
home state.
So thank heavens. But still, it doesn't matter. I mean, still, some people are going to be getting hit 57, even if they live in a state that doesn't have that, you know, the state income tax. I mean, but the fact that you just said 65% in some instances, like in New York or California, that's 65%. That's your income.
It's pretty scary. And now the Democrats the latest chapter of the saga is now the Democrats want to give a massive tax cut to millionaires and billionaires living in New York and California and Jersey by allowing them to deduct their state income taxes off their federal income taxes, which, you know, if you live in Texas and Florida, you don't have to worry about that, because now that would be the single biggest tax cut for rich people in the history of the country. Wait a minute. I thought this was a bill that was supposed to soak the rich. Oh, no, they only want to soak the rich of people who are Republicans and living in red states, not their rich friends. Just like they want to give a big tax break to trial lawyers, mm-hmm. $3 billion. Gee, why would they want to do that? Oh, yeah, the trial lawyers give 90% of their money for Democrats. They want to give a $2.5 billion tax cut to the union bosses. Gee, why would one? Oh, yeah, the unions give 90% of the money to Democrats.
And
this
media
isn't about helping working class Americans. This is pay to play. This is about holding on to power and rewarding the people who gave them money.
Right. We're talking with Stephen Moore, economist. His book, Trumponomics, a great book to read. He's also the senior economic contributor over at FreedomWorks, whom he's been really working hard with trying to get this push, trying
Build
to
the bill.
Increase that. Yeah,
Build
against this bill. This bill. I mean, tell me about this too, Stephen, because I was reading through just some of the top line points of this, and there's also the targeting of. We saw this with Obamacare, with medical excise tax. We see pharmaceuticals and price controls for prescription medication. And I was reading through thinking, boy, this is going to be a huge this is going to really suppress medical innovation at a time when, didn't we all just have a big discussion about how China has such a monopoly on antibiotics and so many other things? And here we're actually talking about making it difficult difficult, more difficult for ourselves to be self-sufficient and come up with new treatments on our own. That seems pretty backwards.
Especially given the fact, I mean, you're spot on, and it's especially idiotic because we just had one of the great programs of all time called Operation Warp Speed, which gave us a vaccine in 10 months. And do you remember, Dana, liberals said, the New York Times and the government, oh, Donald Trump is lying. We could never have a vaccine in 10 months. It's going to take 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And we did get it in 10 months. But that was because the private sector, these companies like Pfizer went out and found ways to do this. And we shortcutted some of those crazy regulations. We saved millions of lives for that. Now, just to prove that no good deed goes unpunished in Washington, now they want to take the profits out of the drug companies. That means if you care about winning the race against cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, all of those are going to be slowed if you put these price controls on the drug industry. We want to be number one in the drug industry, and this will set us back very substantially.
Now, this thing is going to wreck the economy. I don't know how else to put it. You had a great piece about this just last year, where you're in town hall, where you were saying Biden anti-business agenda is going to wreck the economy, which it was. If they get everything that they wanted, which I don't think that they will, because I know Manchin and Sinema, they oppose a number of things in here. It's 50-50. It's incredibly tight. But if you had to speculate as to what's going to end up in this, if they got everything they wanted, we know what would be a disaster. But what do you think we are going to end up with, and what kind of chilling effect further is that going to have on the economy?
Well, you know, Biden really was blessed with an economy that was accelerating because of, you know, we finally reopened the economy thanks to Operation Warp Speed. So I think the economy will stay strong for, you know, another 3 to 6 months. But then I think, Dana, what you're going to see is the debt hangover effect. You know, it's like you go out partying all the, you know, till 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't get out of bed the next morning. That's what it's going to feel like. You know, we're all partying like it's 1999 right now because it's all this free money, but bills have to be paid. It's like if you went out and just ran up your credit card, you're, oh, wow, this is so wonderful, I'm rich, but you have to pay those bills back. So I think we're making a big mistake. And I want to mention one other quick thing, if I may. Mm-hmm. I am so sick and tired of Joe Biden saying, I'm doing everything I can to lower gas prices. Number one, they want high gas prices, folks. They want high gas prices because they hate the oil and gas industry. They want to put it out of business and they want people to stop using it. So they've artificially increased the price so that you have to use, you know, windmills and solar power. But the other point is, no, he's not doing everything he can to lower the price. If we would just drill for American oil and gas, use our coal, use our nuclear power, use all our energy, we would have much, much lower energy prices. This is a result of the cult of climate change that has basically taken over the Democratic Party, and they don't care if they wreck the economy. They don't care if people have to pay $4 or $5 a gallon of gas, because that's a small price to pay to save the planet. Never mind, of course, that China doesn't care less about climate change, and they account for, you know, 5 times as much pollution as we do, and they're right, laughing right behind our back.
And they control everything that makes their green new energy deal, everything that would make that possible. China controls whether it's cobalt,
exactly,
and DRC, whether it's lithium. They're trying to get access to lithium in Afghanistan. And it reminds me, last thing, Stephen, you know, when we hear about all of the business that the Bidens have with these firms and with China and with pushing all of this stuff, I mean, really, it's like the Belt and Road Initiative for the rich people who stand to make money off of China's investments off of this. You know, you have Belt and Road Initiative for all of these third world countries where they're trying to get, you know, they we'll give you some infrastructure and investment in exchange for us controlling some of your, you know, your resources. It's kind of, it feels like the climate change and the Green New Deal stuff is like that Belt and Road Initiative for the rich, the uber rich left that stands to gain while everybody else suffers.
Yeah, the two people in the world that are benefiting most from Biden's policies are President Xi of China, and of course the other one being Vladimir Putin in Russia, who's loving life right now because since the United States isn't producing as much natural gas, guess who's taking over that market?
Mm.
Putin. Right now, the Western European countries are, according to the Financial Times, held hostage. That's their term, held hostage to Russia for their energy because we're not producing it here in the United States. That's not just an economic emergency. It's also a national security crisis. Have we forgotten, you know, about the Cold War? Have we forgotten what happened 80 years ago when we surrendered our economic power and we got attacked? So this is a dangerous time for our country. It really is. We don't have a tough leader right now. We have a milquetoast leader.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Goodness. Stephen Moore, always such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for your insight on this. And if I don't see you sooner, Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
You too. Thanks so much. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. And he's correct. This is a very, very crazy time for the nation.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
So apparently Titleist, the golf ball people, right? They have all the golf stuff. They are not allowing the phrase, let's go Brandon, on their golf balls. So a friend that I know, Caleb, tried to order some, and they tried to order Let's Go Brandon golf balls. And they responded, Sarah at customer service wrote back and said, hello, thank you for your recent My Titleist golf ball order. Unfortunately, we cannot process your custom order in its current form. And as such, we've held it in our system. Should you like to provide a different customization, please let us know so we may update your order and release it for processing. We thank you for understanding and your support of Titleist products. Maybe he should just have FJB on there, right? I mean, just put it on there full out. Maybe that one's okay.
I'm still upset that Brandons themselves can't get their names on that.
Yeah, what if your name is Brandon and you're just like, right. I want myself to go. I'm right. Cheering myself on. What if it's like your son? What if your dad's name's Brandon?
Right. This censorship stuff is, you know,
this people, is people, so stupid.
People suffer in the wake of that stuff.
You know, Xi Jinping was upset because people, Hong Kongers, were referring to him as Winnie the Pooh. Because of a photo of him and Obama walking, and he had like the body language of Winnie the Pooh, and it made Xi Jinping so mad that Hong Kongers started constantly comparing him to Winnie the Pooh. So we banned Winnie the Pooh. This is not unlike this. Right. It is the same damn thing. Yeah, companies that they wouldn't do anything with Winnie the Pooh. So ultimately, that affable little bear was banned. And now here we go. You can't even say Let's Go Brandon, which is basically the Winnie the Pooh for Joe Biden. Oh, Joe and G. Oh, my gosh. That was an accident and it's sticking. Oh, man. I'm telling you what. It's the same thing.
It'll just open up doors to third party companies to do the printing on things like that. That's what it'll end up being.
Yeah. So if you're a golf ball company, this is like a prime time for you right now. Get some Let's Go Brandon golf balls. Some people I know are going to have total Let's Go Brandon stuff for Christmas. Faux show. All right. Am I taking up your time? I'm sorry. It's okay. Today in stupidity.
Yeah, we have time.
Okay.
All right. It is California's Gavin Newsom. Oh, this guy. He's trying to claim that Texas has higher violent and property crime rates than they do. Listen to this.
31 states today have higher felony thresholds than the state of California.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly, Texas has higher violent crime rates than California and property crime rates. Why isn't Fox talking about those?
What?
Based on what data?
He is making it up is the data.
Yeah, I've seen people's like, what are you citing? Because that doesn't make sense in any reality.
San Francisco? Has he not seen L.A.?
There are needles, and it's basically the needles and feces capital in the world.
Right.
Everywhere you go, free needles and feces.
We only have several more days of, you know, looting till
Christmas.
Here,
people just try to give you jobs and brisket. Right. I mean, that's like way better.
Right.
Just, you know.
Merry Christmas to that.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so tomorrow... Thursday, we got some fun stuff. We have the guy who created the mRNA tech, yeah. Dr. Robert Malone, is going to be on the air. Is going to be on the show with us. We've got a million questions for him, and our friend Adam Carolla will join us as well. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's program, folks. That does it for us today. Sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.